BIM, or Bord Ishgivora, is the state agency responsible for developing the Irish seafood industry. It's a hugely valuable sector worth about 1 billion every year. BIM trains people in the skills they need to work in the area, and one of their key training facilities is in Castletanbere in West Cork. And recently, responding to the needs of the fish farming sector, they've started training courses for commercial divers for the aquaculture industry. Mark Costigan went to one of the courses to talk to the trainees and the students.
Ireland is known the world over as a country that produces good food from the land and from the sea, and we export far and wide. And of course, when we think of seafood, we must consider what we get offshore with our trawlers and what we get inshore with our aquaculture industry. And that means not just more fishermen, but also more divers. Bord Ishgivora, BIM, has just started a course for training commercial divers in Castletanbere. It's the first such course in a long time, and it was prompted by a survey which looked at the needs of the industry. When the need for more divers was clear, there was a real need to design a new QQI Level 6 commercial diver training course. And as BIM's Shane Begley told me, it involved quite a few groups.
This included the HSA, the Gardaí, Coast Guard, BIM. This group then decided on what the award standards would be. Once we had agreement on that, then we could work on the actual programmes themselves and get them validated through QQI. We were adamant that we would ensure that the standards that we would bring it to would be in line with current HSE standards in the UK and ITSA standards in Europe, which is the International Dive Schools Association.
It took about 2 years, all told, to put the commercial diving course together. It starts with a commercial scuba diving module, and then it moves to a surface supply diving module. And the chief trainer is Brian Murphy. Now, you don't have to be experienced to apply for the courses, but, says Brian, not everybody is cut out to be a commercial diver.
It sounds great, oh, I'm a commercial diver, but the reality is that the diver is, you know, he's a jack of all trades under the water. And under the water isn't always the nicest place to be. It can be very cold, it can be zero visibility, very challenging conditions. So it isn't everybody's, you know, cup of tea. And there are certain people who will make the grade and others then who might like to see themselves working as a commercial diver, but in reality operating out at sea, you know, in cold, wet, miserable weather, long days, working at night time, just doesn't work for them.
That's the bad news, but here's the good news.
Having said that, we have people who've come on the programme and they start out with no experience, and by the end of the 9 weeks and when they've completed their surface applied training, there's often very little difference between their ability to work and the ability that somebody who would have come on the programme with significant experience.
I said earlier the reason the courses have been set up is in response to a need from the fish farming industry for more commercially trained divers. The company, formerly known as Marine Harvest Ireland, now known as Moy Ireland, is part of one of the biggest aquaculture companies in the world. They have a number of salmon farms here in Ireland, and Johnny Power is the head man down in the southwest.
The day-to-day work of a diver would be like our workers work predominantly 9 to 8 to 5. They start work at 8, they finish up on the pier again with their day's work done at 5 o'clock in the evening. And so the divers will join the crew in the morning. They'll have a meeting as to what they want to do today. Is it whether it's anchor diving checking or mooring checks or net checks or so on and so on. And they may go ashore sometime in the middle of the day, and then they have to tend to their equipment, make sure they have more oxygen, compressed air in their dive cylinders, nitrox they use mainly, for the next morning, and tend to their equipment and get ready for the next day.
Okay, let's get out of the office and head towards the water and meet some of the students. And it's not all men. Jess Murphy has been working in the area of recreational diving.
Jess, you're from Kilmore Quay.
I am.
And you have a background, as I understand, in kind of leisure scuba diving.
Yeah, that's right. So I started scuba diving almost 4 years ago now, but growing up in Kilmore Quay, there wasn't much else to do than be in the water or on the boats or whatever. So I've always had a good connection with the ocean, I guess.
What made you decide to do this course?
Well, I guess I went down the recreational route and been travelling quite a bit with it, and it was nice and all that, but you have to keep coming home then and starting from scratch again, and it's quite hard to get work in the recreational side in Ireland, so I love being in the water, and I think that doing this commercial diving course, I'll get a lot more opportunities to get work in Ireland.
Another student is Jack Behan from Killybegs, and surprisingly, he's a newcomer. His background is working onshore and not in the fishing industry. Mind you, just a few days into the course, he sounds like he's picking up things fast. They've used wetsuits, but today was the first day to use a dry suit. What's the difference?
The difference is that no water gets into a dry suit. We can pump air through the dry suit to keep us buoyant, stop us from, you know, rising or sinking too fast, and it also, for comfort, keeps us a little bit warmer. So you don't actually get wet at all in the suit.
So you'll have air to keep you buoyant, but also air to breathe?
Yeah, we will. The mouthpiece comes out of the regulator, the wee tap on the top, and we breathe through that normally, in and out, just as if you were on the land.
Is this pure oxygen?
No, it's not. It's a mixture of oxygen and nitrogen, so it's just the same as you would breathe.
It feels normal.
Yeah.
You want to see all the gear these guys have before they go out in the water. We're standing on a slip in the harbour in Castletown Bear, and Jess starts to list the equipment.
So we have our scuba cylinders and our buoyancy control device, which is attached to the cylinder. We use that to stay buoyant or to sink in the water. Attached then to the cylinder, you'll have a regulator, which regulates the high pressure air in the cylinder to a breathable ambient pressure.
The list goes on for some time. Anyway, I climb aboard a powerful BIM rib, and I asked the chief trainer, Brian Murphy, where we're headed.
We're heading off here out of the harbour in Castletown Bear, and we're just going to go across then to get the shelter of Bear Island itself. And the advantage of the site over there is that we'll be out of the wind today, and we've got a bit of sheltered water then for the lads to operate in for the sort of the basic introduction to the rescue skills that we're going to be doing.
So, off we go. Brian and myself heading out to sea to catch up with the training boat with students and trainers Killian and Tiernan Gray. We throttle down and approach carefully.
We're arriving alongside, we'll call it the diving rib, and they're preparing to go in the water. Ahoy there!
I climb aboard the training boat and Killian Gray explains the drill.
Yeah, we're going to get into the water. First step is to check weights, particularly with Jack, as it's his first dive in a dry suit. So the amount of weight he needs varies depending on the equipment he's wearing. It's his first time wearing a dry suit, so we're going to check that he has sufficient weight. Tiernan has extra weights on board should we need more. When we're both happy with our weights, we're going to then descend and give Jack time to get used to using the dry suit underwater. So he'll probably swim off along the seabed, making small adjustments to buoyancy, probably ascend and descend once or twice to get him time to familiarise himself with how the dry suit feels. When he's happy with that, then we're going to practice searching. Tiernan is going to drop a lost object for us, and we're going to do a search pattern starting from this descent line that's off to our right. There's a line and buoy. We'll begin from that, making increasingly large circles as we go along, hopefully recovering the object.
I'm really struck by the care they take with the equipment. Diving is potentially a dangerous business, and Tiernan Gray takes time to explain the details of the gear.
Now, look, dry suit, right? You've got your inflator this time for the dry suit. Yeah. So let's put this hose under your arm here so it's nice and tidy. And if you can feel it there, pull it forward, that's it. Just like connecting up the BCD, pull back on the collar down, push till it clicks, and that's it. Now that it's connected, try it. You haven't had a chance to try it yet. Just tap it. You feel that? Air going into the suit.
Yeah.
So that now is how you're going to regulate your buoyancy underwater. Remember, short little bursts, making sure you don't over-adjust.
Safety is key. It was explained to me that for the recreational diver, they can do their own thing, but for the commercial diver, it's about teamwork. And as Brian Murphy told me, an important function is a standby diver.
Well, one of the fundamental roles that a diver plays in the dive team is that of standby diver. And what that means then is that if you have a man working in the water, you always have somebody available on the surface, fully kitted, ready to go in the event that that person in the water gets into trouble and sends a distress signal, however they do it, line signal, hardwire comms, whatever. So if the diver then in the water gets into difficulty, he knows that, right, I've sent up the call for help, somebody will be with me momentarily, and all I have to do is hang on, look after myself till they get here, and hopefully then they will be able to deal with the situation.
Soon they were over the side and under the water, but not me. I headed back to base. Jess and Jack could end up, for example, as divers protecting vital salmon stocks. And according to Johnny Power, remember, Irish salmon is among the best in the world.
3 out of 4 of our sites down here are in completely open waters. I mean, they are sheltered in one side by an island or by a peninsula, but in the other side it would be open to the Atlantic. So therefore there's a strong current and a lot of weather, as in bad weather and sea conditions, going through the pins, which means that if a fish is in this pin, they have to constantly swim to hold their water, tread water if you like, or move, which means that the muscle blocks are quite firm in the fish. The muscle blocks are the protein blocks in the salmon, and Irish salmon has only a small thin white line of fat between them.
Mark Costigan reporting from Castletownbere.